My guest at this time is Dr. Waleed Faris. He's a longtime expert on Middle East studies as well as terrorism. He is the author of several books, most recently The Lost Spring, and he is now a foreign policy advisor to presumptive Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump. We've asked him to discuss the recent coup attempt in Turkey, what it means for the future of that country, as well as our national security, and what it could potentially mean for this election. And Dr. Faris, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Craig.
Well, I'm not sure if you had any inkling that the coup attempt was coming when the news broke on Friday. What was your immediate reaction when it did, and then to the fact that Erdogan seems to have held on to power?
Well, we didn't really have any notion or information that such a development would take place. This is why they call them coup. It's sudden. Obviously, this is not an overnight situation. They did not decide this most likely the day before. There is a tradition or historical precedent to this in Turkey. But the difference is that this is a smaller size of units inside the Turkish armed forces that attempted this. But if you want to look at the big picture, you'd see that the Erdogan government, AKP government, which came to power in 2002, has been at odds with a variety of players. First of all, there was a suppression of youth revolt in 2013 at Gezi Park. Then there was a clash with the political parties, secular political parties, who tried to have a majority in parliament and form a government and failed. An ongoing confrontation, and now with the core, secular core of the Turkish army. It failed. This does not mean that the tensions are gone. Tensions will remain. It all depends on how the Erdogan government is going to behave after crushing the coup. As we hear right now, Greg, there are thousands and thousands of arrests. And these arrests are not just targeting the soldiers and the officers who were part of the coup, but a very large number of officers and military who were not part of the coup. This may be, as it was mentioned in Western media, an attempt by Mr. Erdogan to basically take care or eliminate his political opposition within the armed forces. But we're getting also information that thousands of judges are being arrested or removed from their position, and today journalists and other elements. So as Europeans and American decision makers and politicians have mentioned over the past 24 hours, one thing is to stop a military coup. We do not accept military coups in the 21st century. But another thing is to use that military coup to basically have a counter coup and then eliminate an entire political opposition. So really the decision is in the hands of the Erdogan government now.
So what do you fear could be ahead here in Turkey? I've heard some commentators say that this could be Erdogan's excuse for essentially stifling any sort of criticism of him and even moving the country in a more Islamist direction, which, of course, was not the vision of Kemal Atatürk decades ago. So what do you suspect is his likely MO as he moves forward here?
Exactly. As you said, Greg, this could be an excuse that this government would use, the AKP government would use, to first control political life completely, and then on the other hand, direct or move the country towards becoming an Islamist regime. That's clear. We saw also that the Erdogan government used non-regular forces. We saw civilians with weapons going after the detainees, the soldiers that were made prisoners. So all of these are not good signs. And again, I'm repeating, the international community, U.S. and Europe, will stand by any government, even if they don't like the government or they like it when there is a coup. But when they see that this government is moving forward away from secularism, away from liberalism, away from moderation into the realm of Islamism, then there is a problem.
We're talking with Dr. Waleed Faris. He is a foreign policy advisor to presumptive Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump and a longtime Middle East and terrorism expert. On the flip side, Dr. Faris, I don't know how much credence you give these allegations, but some have suggested that Erdogan wanted to do this so much that he may have even orchestrated this. That was simply a facade. Is that even grounded in any reality?
Well, we read those reports, first of all, in Western European and in European press. Now we can see it in some American you know, sites, websites, and we heard the opposition, the Turkish opposition, claiming that this may have been triggered by a manipulation, you know, forcing these military units to think that, in fact, they have a chance or they are doing some other mission. I mean, I do not subscribe to conspiracy theories, but this is possible. But we don't see yet the evidence. We only need to have the evidence in our hands to judge.
The first day of the Republican Presidential Convention, the Republican National Convention, is entitled Making America Safe Again. So national security, the fight against radical Islam. I'm sure there will be discussion about the situation involving the targeting of police in our country and that sort of thing. How does the instability in Turkey, which is a NATO partner, factor into the Trump campaign's approach to making this a more stable world?
But of course, Mr. Trump's vision is a more stable Middle East will contribute to a more stable world. Anywhere you see instability, as what happened in Turkey, or civil wars. I mean, what happened in Turkey is just small compared to what is happening in Syria.
Right.
500,000 people killed. But if it's not controlled in Turkey, it may head towards urban clashes and clashes with the Kurds. So that is not a good news. The general approach of Mr. Trump is basically to change the course of our foreign policy. This foreign policy, the Obama-Clinton foreign policy, has been tested from 2009, and it has failed. It has failed clearly. Look at what's happening in Turkey. Begin in Libya, Yemen, Iraq, Lebanon, and, of course, peaking in Syria. Let alone that the Iran deal is not working. Let alone that we have abandoned many of our friends in Egypt and the Gulf. And on top of that, we have now an unleashed urban jihad in the West, from San Bernardino to Orlando to Paris and to Nice. This is enough evidence for any voter, should they be a Republican, Democrat, or Independent, that we need to change course.
Dr. Ferris, what can you tell us about his specific plan to bring stability to the Middle East? That's been a goal of many presidents, obviously, in recent generations, and it's proven very elusive.
You have three major principles. The principle number one, and superseding everything else, we need to regain our strength as the United States. The U.S. is perceived as weak. So you're going to change that perception. Number two, you're going to form coalitions. You can't be operating right and left without having coalitions of moderates in the Arab worlds, in the region, with the Europeans. And number three, we need to work with civil society forces. Instead of running around and strengthening rebel jihadists, quote unquote, we should be working with NGOs and civil societies, because in the long term, these are the forces that will stabilize these societies from the inside and isolate the jihadists or the terrorists. So these are three principles a change of direction will have to adopt.
Dr. Ferris, we'll be watching. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg.
Dr. Waleed Ferris is a longtime expert and professor on Middle East and terrorism studies. He's the author of several books, including most recently The Lost Spring, and he is now a foreign policy advisor to presumptive Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump, who will become the actual nominee later this week. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.